degrees in downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome back Fairhope City Councilman Jay Robinson. Welcome back, literally.
Thank you, Lori. Glad to be here.
You decided not to run again to spend more time with family and the law practice, and then due to the resignation of another member, you were courted back and appointed by the council. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a nice four-month vacation, and odd to be back, odd that it happened the way it did, but happy to be here and glad to be of service.
I think it's important to have a legal perspective such as yours, on top of the fact that you've got a very genteel, calm manner about explaining how it is without really hurting anybody's feelings. So that's a great talent to have on the council.
I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, I think having a sort of a diverse background of education and experience for all five seats is important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, legal is significant, even though we have city attorneys that help us. It's nice to get different points of view on all things, and legal background definitely helps.
Yes, it is. So before the meeting at 6 p.m., there's six items on the work session at 4:30. One of them is about a drainage project at Fairfield Subdivision. They recently had some problems.
Well, they had what I saw were videos of significant stormwater runoff in I think designated drainage areas, but it looked significant, and I'm guessing that's what this is going to be about.
Right. I know with the work session, many times it's brought up for discussion to the council, and maybe the first time you've heard of something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times that's when we're educated on it for the first time is in the work session, and so I look forward to learning more about it.
Okay. Number two is discussion regarding the gully behind 50 Fairhope Avenue. Do you happen to know where that is?
I honestly do not.
But it ties into this discussion from the last meeting I wanted to ask you about, and I've talked to the mayor about, and that is the $760,000 North Summit Street bank stabilization. Now, I know that $500,000 is going to be paid by a grant, but that's still leaving $250,000 for the city to pay for gully and bank stabilization. Can you tell us a little bit about that? My
sure.
First thought is, why build on a gully or a bluff and then have the city to take care of it?
Well, and you're right in that, but there are city obligations to common areas or city areas. And so while you can't create the hazard and expect someone else to take care of it, if there are existing hazards and existing issues that could potentially create future problems, the city does have an obligation and a responsibility to protect against that. And this is one of those issues where it may be several things combining to create the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The city's responsibility is still in part of that, and so we have, unfortunately, not a budgeted item to take care of, and $200,000 is a lot of money. But you're protecting against future problems and bluff and gully erosion, and that's a serious thing that we have to look at and take care of.
The mayor also mentioned that a lot of it, I can't give a percentage, but homes that have been there for many, many years.
That's right.
So, because I had an alarm go off about the new development, the newer development, mm-hmm. where some folks kind of actually did build in the gullies.
Right.
And was wondering if that was part of it.
I couldn't tell you that it didn't contribute, but I don't think that was the number one issue here. I think it's just erosion long-term and just
okay.
a long-term issue that needed to be addressed.
Okay. Anything else on the work session that you want to mention? Or I guess you'll find out tonight.
Yeah, I'll find out with the rest of you.
Okay, because one of them is about janitorial services, and there is something on the agenda about it as well.
There is. It's number 10 on the meeting agenda to contract with Service Master for janitorial services, including supplies. And honestly, Lori, that might be something that we do regularly. I just don't recall at this
right,
point.
Right.
I mean, I know we do have people on staff that handle janitorial services, but there may be a bigger issue that this
okay.
is addressing.
As I've pulled out some old agendas now, I can't find the top page to tonight's agenda, so I was looking at some previous ones to catch up. What else would you like to mention from tonight's meeting?
Well, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention that's not really on the agenda, that is some of the work that's being done around the city, and we've gotten calls and we've seen some Facebook posts about outages in different areas, and that is just that comes along with the upgrades and the improvements that are being made. A lot of times, whether it's power, water, gas, there have to be shutdowns in order to get these things tied in and upgraded. And so we apologize anytime there is an outage, because we know it's an inconvenience.
It was a big one Saturday.
It was.
Well publicized to warn all of the residents. And it was really, I mean, a no-choice situation. Tell us about that. You can't close down a school. Kids can't go without water.
And that's right. And so you might hear that we chose the weekend because of it was the best time. And you might think, well, that seems like the worst time because everybody's home and that creates an issue. But when you're dealing with the water lines in that particular area, if you shut it down during the week, you affect the schools, and we simply couldn't do that. And we tried to publicize it as much as we could so that everybody would be aware of it. Obviously, we know anytime that happens, there's going to be people that don't either see the signs or get the alerts. And unfortunately, there were some that claimed they didn't know about it. And again, we apologize for the inconvenience, but it's a necessary part of the upgrade.
Yes, and this was for the roundabout.
Correct.
At 32 and 13.
That's right.
And I think maybe some problems arose. What was expected to be 4 to 6 hours turned into about 9 hours,
yeah,
from what I read.
Yeah, and I think that's I don't know the exact time, but unfortunately, that seems to happen more and more as we start getting into these upgrades and repairs, and we get in there and find out the problem or the condition might be less than what we hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that's a good thing because we're able to fix it and improve it for moving on down the line. And so there's still a lot more to do, and the inconvenience is still going to be there for a while, but long term it's going to be great for the city and great for everybody that lives here.
Yes, it will. I was also looking at resolution number 6, and this is requesting grant funds to construct a first responder safe room, almost a $2 million project that would cost the city $330,000. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's been a while. We actually had someone from the county come and speak to us about this, and I couldn't tell you exactly when. It could have been actually before the last term ended. But it's a safe room shelter for to be used, I believe, as a hub for first responders in the event of these, you know, catastrophic events that we've unfortunately experienced here over the past several years. And I can't recall all the specifics as far as whether or not that's open to the public in the event, you know, as a shelter, I guess, during those times. But the presentation, I think it was by Ball and EMA, was actually very persuasive, and I think it's ultimately going to be something very helpful for us.
Okay. So you plan on voting on that tonight?
I do believe so.
Okay. All right. And Mark mentioned on the air Friday when we were talking about a meeting tonight, he said, what? It's the national championship game. It's bound to be a short meeting, but you've got 17 items on the agenda, including an executive session. What else would you like to mention?
Yeah, 17 items and an executive session on National Championship Monday.
Not good.
You know, but most of these are budgetary items and seem to be low conflict items that we should be able to move through pretty quickly. Executive session, you never know, obviously, what might go on in there, but I expect that to be short. But yeah, this is the, I think because of the way the national championship is usually scheduled, we've had a meeting every year during National Championship Monday.
And that's something. Also, I know we're excited to see that the bid has been awarded for the Arts Alley project and the Downtown Transit Hub.
Yes. I don't know if excited is the right word, but I'm ready for this project to get moving.
Yeah, I need to see the drawing. As I drive by up in there, which is the little alley, in between Little Whiskey and the old hardware store, going up through what used to be the Courier and the Chamber up to the Hampton, where are they going to put that without knocking down some walls to the parking garage? I just don't see it.
I have a limited vision on what I can see just standing there. But the drawings are good, and you know, this is something that started, I think, at the very beginning of the last term, the discussions of this and moving it forward, and the fact that, you know, here we are almost 6 years later, it's time.
And this has a $1.2 million price tag, but it doesn't all belong to the city because it's the Baldwin Rural Area Transportation service that's going to have the actual transit hub.
Correct.
And other dollars are paying for it. So do you know, without me putting you on the spot, what the city's cost is?
I couldn't tell you specifically as I sit here, and I'd hate to guess because I know I'd be wrong, but you are correct in that there are monies from multiple places coming towards this, and the city's responsibility, I believe, is minimal compared to the total amount.
Yes, and I believe Guy Busby has that in the Courier with more details if someone would like to refer to that. And this is not on the agenda, but I haven't talked to you at all about the moratorium. And what do you think about the recent enacted moratorium? And refresh our memories what it actually means, because everywhere we look, we still see development.
Right. So this would be outside of the – this would be multiple occupancy projects outside of the, I guess, municipal boundaries, outside of the city limits. Because as most of you know, the biggest issue that we seem to have currently is unzoned property outside of the city that's in the county, where these big subdivisions, apartment projects, all of these different things that are coming in, that we get a lot of complaints about, but ultimately don't have much say-so in stopping because it's unzoned county property that they're able to do these things on. And so you've got several groups now that are moving towards trying to get annexation in because they realize something that we've been promoting over the years, which is zoning and annexation doesn't mean you lose property rights. It means you actually get more, because not only do you have some say-so over what happens to your property, the city does too, and it keeps things like this from growing sort of without any boundaries at all.
The proposed planning district 37 was actually a citizen grassroots effort developed to hopefully prevent the Lawrence Road apartment project. They've got a vote coming up in February on zoning, not annexation, because I believe they fall in that Barnwell
district. I believe that's
district. Right. But they're actually, there seems to be some energy and momentum that they, with a lawyer, they're trying to prove that this particular development didn't make it under the cut and it should be included because the process started when they filed for a special election. I'm not quite sure I understand it.
Yeah, you and I were discussing that before we came on air, and I honestly haven't seen that portion of their argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the moratorium was only passed several weeks ago, and the way it was written was that if you had presented for informal review at that point, you were in. But I don't know exactly how their filing for a special election would impact whether or not development in their district would be stopped, or whether or not it would still be considered in play. But that's a good question, and I'm interested to find that answer out myself.
Okay. We're speaking with Fairhope City Council member Jay Robinson here at WABF. What else would you like to mention?
Well, you know, I'd like to talk about, sort of specifically address the zoning and the annexation just a little bit more, because I've had this conversation a lot over the years with people young and old, and the first response you usually get is, I don't want anybody telling me what to do with my property.
Right.
And I completely get that. And even riding around yesterday, I still saw signs in people's yards that say, vote no to zoning, vote no to annexation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand their positions are just that. Don't want anybody telling me what I have to do with my property. And that's absolutely true. But what they don't understand, and or maybe do, and it, doesn't matter to them is if no one can tell you what to do with yours, nobody can tell your neighbor what to do with theirs either. And the next thing you know, you've got a lot of development, maybe whatever it may be that you don't want, whether it's commercial development, storage units, whatever it is, huge multiple occupancy projects. Uh-huh. If we can't stop you from doing what you want to do with your property, we have no say so over that either. And when you tell people that and explain it to them, that really a lot of times changes their perspective on it.
Uh-huh.
Because their goal is to protect their property, which is something we're all interested in. But you can't do that if you don't have some say so in every piece.
And that's the catch 22.
That's right.
You know, is how can you regulate development when you don't want yours developed? But they've got a special election, and that will be answered, I suppose, in mid-February. I feel like I'm forgetting to ask you something, but if we can think of anything else that you want to cover, and I hope that you'll be able to make a regular appearance.
Yeah, absolutely.
As part of the council,
I'm you know, it has been a blessing to be back. I'm so grateful that I was considered to be brought back. I'm glad I was able to come back.
Uh-huh.
And it's been absolutely wonderful working with this group, Mayor Sullivan, and I'm just happy to be here.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
City Councilman Jay Robinson join us this morning. Fairhope City Council meets their regular meetings the second and fourth Monday of each month, though after this, maybe you will vote to change the national championship game night meeting, right? We don't expect it to be a very long meeting, hopefully. If you missed this interview or you cannot attend the meeting, you can see them both or listen to them online. You can see the meetings online at the City of Fairhope's Facebook page, and you can listen to this interview later at WABF1480.com. As we are sitting in the commercial break, we did think of a couple of other things that we might want to address or clarify, Jay.
Yes. So number one, the safe room that is mentioned on tonight's agenda would not be open to the public, but it would house Public Works and utilities during the storm to allow them to have a workspace to operate and respond.
$2 million workspace. I didn't give you a hard time about that, but I might have to.
It's a big price tag, but in order to get these things done in a way that can withstand not only the storm, but continue to serve as a hub, an operations hub,
right,
during that time, I think those are the safeguards that have to be in place.
And the city's portion around $300,000.
Is around $300,000. And in addition to using that space as a safe room during storms and different emergencies, events, it would also serve as a classroom when it's not being used for something like that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is going back to the bluff stabilization that you mm-hmm. talked about, there is a possibility of some others contributing to that stabilization, including residents, and so that's something we're looking into to see if there are other contributions to that.
Okay. I believe the mayor may have mentioned to me that they were checking, she was going to see if maybe single tax colony
right.
could contribute.
That's absolutely right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, thank you.
Fairhope City Councilman Jay Robinson. Once again,